might not be any truer than what we're going to look in here tonight. And tonight is kind of the culmination of several weeks of us doing this series that we've been doing. In case you haven't been around, we've been doing this series called We Can't Stay Here. And the whole idea behind it is wherever you're at in your relationship with Jesus, whether you don't even have one, you feel like things are going pretty well, or somewhere in between, Jesus says to each and every one of us, regardless of where we are, you can't stay there. In a loving way, in a way that wants to transform us to become more like him, he says, you cannot stay where you are. I have better things planned for you. I have greater things planned for you. Don't just stay where you're comfortable. And we've been looking at the life of the Israelites and how they are very much like us. We have the temptation all the time to just kind of sit down and call it good. Either because we feel like we've worked hard enough, we've come far enough, we should be able to just kind of ride the rest of this thing out. Or on the other end, we're like, we suck so bad that what's the point in trying? We can't make any progress whatsoever, so what's the point in trying? And we are so much like the Israelites in this. And they oftentimes gave in to the temptation to just stay where they were. And we've been able to learn a lot from them. We've seen how to continue to move forward, even when things are going well for us, even when life is pretty easy. We're on that mountaintop. How do we continue to move forward when things are easy and the temptation to just kind of coast comes around? We looked at how to continue to move forward when we're in the valley, when we're in like the crappiest spot of our life, the lowest we've ever been. How do we continue to move forward? And that is to fix our eyes on Jesus. In the first week, we saw the consequence of not moving forward, the consequence of just staying where we were. We saw how the Israelites were right on the edge of the promised land, this land that God had set aside for them that was amazing. And because they were afraid and because they were unwilling to step forward, they missed out on it. A whole generation missed out on it. And the same is true for us. The consequence of us staying where we are is that we miss out on who God wants to make us and God wants to help us become, and the things that God wants to do through us. We miss out on that. That's the consequence to us just staying where we are. And you've heard it. We spent all this time. I hope that you're almost sick of this phrase by now. You can't stay here, because we've said it about a billion times over the last several weeks, right? Like over and over again, you can't stay where you are. You can't stay where you are. You can't stay where you are. And that leads us to a follow-up question, right? Because we're people, we like to know the plan, right? So if I keep telling you, you can't stay where you are, you can't stay where you are, if we believe that God is telling us we can't stay where we are, then the next logical question is like, okay, fine, but where are we headed? Like, then what's next? I agree with you, we can't stay here, but what's next? Where are we headed? And I think that that might be a little bit of a tension that many of you are feeling. I was having a conversation with one of the guys in my group just last week, and he was like, this whole thing kind of bothers me, and maybe it kind of bothers you. He's like, okay, the first week you talked about we can't stay here. Okay, I get that. We can't stay where we're at. We got to keep moving forward. And then you talked about the valley, and I understood that. You know, I don't want to be in that low spot. I'll try to start climbing up the mountain. And then we get to the top of the mountain, and I thought, There is where we could be good. And you said, oh no, we can't stop there. We got to keep going. He's like, for crying out loud, like when can we finally rest? When can we stop? Like, what is the goal? And he said, this is kind of bothering me because there's this tension. I would like to know where I could finish up. And I would like to encourage you with something. And this isn't necessarily what I thought I would talk about like when I was preparing all this, but that conversation got me thinking. I would encourage you in this. It's okay for us as people who are trying to follow Jesus to feel a little uneasy in this world. It's actually, I think, the right way for us to feel. Because the Bible says that we're aliens and strangers in this land. This world is not our home. As Christians, our job in this world is to bring heaven to earth, but this isn't our home. Heaven is our home. Like, being in God's presence is our home. So when we're here amidst all sin and temptation and things that just fly in the face of God, we should feel a little uneasy. And if we don't, that might actually be a problem. So if you're feeling some of this tension, you're like, okay, but that makes me feel uneasy, that there's always something more. There's always something more that God is calling me to. I would say to you, good. It's good for us to feel a little bit of uneasiness in this. When you follow Jesus, you will experience peace like you've never experienced, joy like you never experienced, but you're also going to become aware that what my life represents now doesn't super jive with the world that I live in. So be okay with a little bit of uneasiness. Be okay with a little bit of tension in this. So you understand that. You understand that we can't stay here. You understand that there's always something more. And you ask the question, what's next? What is God calling me to? And here's the very unhelpful, truthful answer for you. I have no idea. I have no idea what God is calling you to next, specifically, right? I should be fired from my job, probably. I have no idea what to tell you is next for you. I have no clue for each of you what the next step is in your relationship with Jesus. I could maybe make a few guesses for some of you, but because each of us are at a different spot in our relationship, in our faith journey, I can't answer that question for you. I would kind of like to be able to, and you might like for me to be able to, but just the truth is, I can't. For some of you guys, maybe your next step is just starting that relationship with Jesus. You've heard all about who God is, how he cares for you, what he desires for you, but you still have never given your life over to him. Maybe some of you need to take your sin more seriously. Maybe some of you have found tons of ways to make excuses and justify the things that you do that you know are wrong. And God's saying, you need to stop that. You need to recognize sin for what it is and confess it to me and ask forgiveness and move on from that and set up things in your life so that you can live godly instead of living the way the world would say to live. Maybe some of you need to end a relationship, romantic relationship, friendship, something like that, that's pulling you away from God. Maybe some of you need to start some new relationships with people who would push you to be more like Jesus. Maybe some of you need to change your mindset about what success looks like or about what your future looks like, what college you're going to go to, who you're going to be in 20 years. Maybe some of us need to change our mindset about that. Whatever the case may be, it'll probably be different for many of us in here. For many, many of us, it'll probably be different. So even though I wish I could, I can't tell you what the next step is for you, but maybe you know exactly what it is. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, I've known from the first time we started talking about this what the next step for me is, and I don't want to take it. Maybe you know exactly what it is. Maybe you have no idea what it is, but you really want to know. And maybe you're like, I could not care less what the next step for me is in my relationship with Jesus. Wherever you fall in any of that, be assured this truth remains. Jesus is calling you to something. Jesus is calling you to something more, into a new place, into a next step. He says to each and every one of us, you cannot stay where you are. And even though it will be different for each of us, tonight what I want to do is just look briefly at something that might help us get headed in the right direction to find out exactly, specifically, what your next step is. And there are two statements. There are two gospel-centric statements that have been kicking around my head for a number of weeks that I just feel like I should share with you tonight. And I think it will help us, if we're serious about moving forward, if we're serious about taking that next step in our relationship with Jesus, these two statements can really help us understand what that is. And these two statements boil down to what every person on the planet is being called to. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian, doesn't matter if you're not a Christian, doesn't matter if you're just kind of toying around with God and seeing what the deal is, doesn't matter if you're 100% committed to him. Every single person is being called to these things, all right? Across the board. So here is what Jesus is calling each and every one of us to here tonight, okay? This is the first statement. Jesus is calling you to life for life. Jesus is calling you to life for life. Guys, this is something we need to understand. And if you've been around the church, man, I really hope you've heard this before. But what the Bible says about you and I is that when we are born into this world, we are born with what is called a sin nature. Our desire, our bent is always towards sin. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus, left to our own devices, we will always choose ourselves, selfishness, sin, arrogance, all that stuff. That is the direction that we are going to head naturally. And we talked just last week about how sin, when it is full grown, when it's all grown up, it leads to death. So if you are in here tonight and sin is ruling your life, you are dead. That's just the truth. Spiritually, you are dead if sin is ruling your life here tonight. But Jesus came so that we can have life. John 10:10 says this, "I have come that they may have life." This is Jesus talking. "And have it to the full." Jesus came, walked this earth, lived a perfect life, took all of our sin that we ever have committed or will commit onto his own shoulders, was crucified on a cross to pay for all of that, was put in the ground as a dead person, and 3 days later came back to life. He did all of that so that you and I could transition from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. He came to offer us life. He is calling every one of us to life. Whether we think we deserve it, whether we think we can even grasp a hold of it, whatever, Jesus is calling every single one of us to life. And here's the deal. Some of us in here reject it. He calls every single one of us life, and he says that you don't have to live like you're dead anymore, that Jesus is stronger than your sin, stronger than your shame, stronger than your fear or your doubts. He offers us life, but some of us reject it. We continue to reject the life that God has offered us. Maybe you're in here tonight and you're like, "I'm here for whatever reason, but don't super care about Jesus. Really glad you're here." But you say, "I've been rejecting this gift of life that Jesus has been offering me for a long time." And some of us in here have accepted the gift that God has given us by being brought to life spiritually, but we reject the full life that that verse talks about in John. We're only willing to go so far. We're like, "God, thanks so much for saving me from hell. Thanks so much for getting me to heaven. But this full life that you have for me, it's hard. It means I'm going to have to make sacrifices. It means that I'm going to have to be taken outside of my comfort zone. So I don't really want this full life that you talk about. Thanks for the life, but I don't really want the full life." Some of us in here tonight might find ourselves in that boat. We're only willing to go so far. But Jesus calls us to a life that is full and that is abundant and that is a total trip that, I mean, it's amazing. It's something that people can't even understand, this life that God calls us to. A life that is marked by joy and peace and bravery and all these things that are present in God's own character. That's the type of life that he calls us to. A life where we never, ever have to walk alone. And he calls us to this life, not just one time, not just for a moment, but for the rest of our natural lives. This is not a one and done sort of deal. It's the whole concept of following. Jesus doesn't just say, like, "Say a prayer and you're good to go." He says to every single person who he meets, "Hey, come follow me." That requires action, right? Like, come follow me. See what I do. Do what I do. Come with me. And that is something that is moving, and we have to keep up with him. Let's go. Let's just not accept this gift of life and then totally waste it. Jesus has more in store for us and wants to work crazy, amazing things in us and through us. Let's not settle for anything less. Jesus is calling us to life, for life. And this is the other side of it. Jesus is calling us to die until we're dead. That's the ugly side of it. We all like the idea that God's like, "Okay, I'm offering you life and come live this amazing life with me for the rest of your life." We like that. That's the pretty part of the gospel. And that's the part that only God can do. We can't earn this life. We can't do anything to get to it on our own. It's a free gift that he offers each and every one of us while we're still dead in our sin. But this second part, this is our job in all of this. He calls us to die until we're dead. See, if we decide that we are going to follow Jesus, really follow him, there's some pretty like hard gear shifts that we have to be ready for. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says, "And he said to everyone who was there," all these people interested in following Jesus and seeing what he was about, he says this to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We read over that, we gloss over that, but do we understand that? Jesus says to every single person who's in here who says, "I'm a follower of Jesus," he says, "Then pick up your cross every day and follow me." What he means by that is kind of fulfilled in Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. Who I was before I met Jesus has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There's no more of what I think is a good idea. There's no more of what I want to do. It's what Jesus wants to do. In the life I now live in the flesh, this physical life that we're in right now, I live by faith in the Son of God, trusting God with everything we have, who loved me and gave himself up for me. See, the life that Jesus offers is his part. The dying to ourselves, the dying to our sin tendencies, to our selfishness, to our arrogance, to our plans, that's our part. And again, this is not something that's a one and done deal. This is a lifelong pursuit. We must continue to die to our sin, to our selfishness, to the things that this world thinks are important. The Bible says that we're supposed to crucify those things. We're supposed to crucify our fears and our shame and our doubt and the anger and mistrust and lust and hate and all of that stuff. We need to kill all that stuff every single day, every single moment, and embrace the gift that God has given us, the life that God has given us. It's not an easy life, but it's a better life. We must do it until the final breath leaves our bodies. And that kind of brings us around to what we have been talking about all along. As long as we are not dead, in the ground, buried dead, we are not done being changed by Jesus. And if we live any other way, we're not experiencing all that he wants for us. I'm convinced of it. I don't know if any of you guys have people like this in your life, but I have some relatives who are elderly, whatever you want to say. And they're at the end of their life. And they've lived a lot of life, and they've had a lot of experience. But there's still some things in their life, the way they act toward people and stuff like that, that's really, if we're just being honest, it's not very Christ-like. And people make excuses for them all the time. I don't know if you have anyone in your life like this, but they just say, you know, well, that's just who they are. Like, they're not going to change. That's just who they are. That's the end of their life. They only got like 5 more years to go. They're never going to change. And every time I hear that, it really bothers my heart. Because I think, what kind of Jesus are we believing in? What kind of life are we living where we think we get to a spot where we cannot change anymore? And here's the deal. Some of us in here are living right now like we've already got there. Like we're done becoming more like Jesus. We've come as far as we can go. Things are too difficult. I'm just going to stay where I am. And when we do that, we undermine the power of Jesus when he says, I will continue to change you until the very last breath leaves your body. Jesus is calling each of us tonight to life, to die to ourselves, and to do it until the very end, which is really just the beginning. But that is a long road, right? Does that seem overwhelming to you guys to think that forever, for the rest of my life here on this earth, I will continue to run into things that'll give me opportunity to either become more like Jesus or take steps away from him, and I have to choose to become more like Jesus every time one of those comes up? That's overwhelming to me, if I can be honest. I would love for there to just be a point where you got it and it's taken care of. But we don't see that anywhere in Scripture. But what we do see is that Jesus will walk with us through every single one of those situations. This is going to take a while. And the truth is, we can tend to be kind of discouraged by it. We can tend to run into walls, or we can tend to think back at all the time and effort we've put in and say, I'm kind of discouraged about this. I feel like I would like to quit. And maybe even some of you, kind of going back to that uneasiness that you feel about this whole concept, maybe some of you even feel that tonight. You're kind of like, man, there's so much I need to work on now. I feel like that a lot after doing this sort of stuff. And it's almost discouraging because of how much is ahead of us. So tonight, what I want to do, as we consider what God is calling us to specifically, maybe God is calling you to something in that life side of it. Maybe he's calling you into a relationship with him for the very first time. Maybe he's calling you to live that life to the full and give up your own plans or that one sin you're holding on to or that one relationship you just can't let go. Maybe on the other side, God's calling you to die to yourself again today with something that you've been holding back from him this whole time. But as you kind of consider what God is calling you to specifically, what area of life he's calling you to, what new area to dying to yourself or living in life, we're going to do something that will help us remember that here tonight. We're gonna kind of come full circle here and come back to the Israelites. And we've been looking at them this whole time, and let's be real, they messed it up a lot. But there's this really cool story at the beginning of Joshua that kind of showed something that they did pretty right, I think, and something that we can kind of practice here tonight. When they were done wandering around in the desert, and God finally gave them the okay to head back to the promised land, the very first thing that happened is they came up to this river called the Jordan River, and God parted the river. He did this amazing miracle. He parted this huge river, and the whole nation walked across on dry land, a lot like the Red Sea. Probably a lot of you have heard that story. And what God told these people to do, he told Joshua to tell the 12 tribes, the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, to go get a big rock and to bring it with them as they cross the river. So they don't really understand what's going on, but they pick up these big rocks and they walk across the river. And they get to the other side and God tells Joshua, all right, I want you guys to pile all these rocks on top of each other into a monument. And they're like, well, why are we stacking these rocks on top of each other? What are we remembering? And God says, this was the time where you can remember that God parted an ocean and is leading you into a new place, into the new promised land. In essence, that was a time where they could look back and say, this is when we stopped staying where we were. That was really the first thing that they did once they decided that we are going to move forward. And it's cool because in the book of Joshua, whenever that book was written years and years later, it says in there, and it's still there today. And people would come and they would look at it and say, why is that there? And their forefathers would say, this was the time where we decided we weren't going to stay where we are anymore. And what we want to do tonight is give you a chance to say that very same thing. So the band's going to come up here in a few minutes. I just want to give you a little instruction about this. I always found, as a teenager and even as an adult, it's helpful for me sometimes when we talk about these issues and these really life-changing issues, it's good to be able to have something that I can kind of remember, something that I can think back to and remember the commitment that I made to God. So tonight what we're going to do is they're going to play a few songs, they're going to play some music and stuff like that, and what I would love for you to do is when you are ready, as you think about what God is calling you into, the next step specifically for you, you can come up and you can grab one of these rocks. There's Sharpies right here. And you can write down on them. We're going to leave you a little bit of freedom in this because we know that you all have different spots in this whole relationship with Jesus deal. Maybe you could write on it like, this is what God has brought me out of. Maybe you could write, hey, this is what I know God is calling me into. Maybe it's like, this is a sin that I've been struggling with forever, but I am leaving it here. I'm not staying in that. I'm moving forward. Whatever the case may be, whatever you feel like you'd like to write on there, we want to welcome you to do that. And as you think about that, pray about that, once you're finished writing that, I just want you to come over here and stick it in the middle of this thing, and we're going to make a monument together here. And what I hope for you guys is that when you think back on September 30th, 2015, you think back and say, that was a time where God spoke to my heart and I made a commitment that I was not going to stay where I am, but I was going to move forward into what God called me to be. And what's cool is at the end of the night, we're going to have a stack of rocks up here and we can look at it as a group and say, that was the night that the students of 128 decided we're not just going to stay where we are, but we are going to move forward into who God has called us to be. I think God has big plans for each and every one of you. I think we stunt God's plans for our lives, and he does the amazing things he wants to do in us through other people all the time. I think many of us are called to do incredible things in this world, and I think our group is called to do some pretty cool things in this town, but we have to be willing to be honest about where we're at, And we have to be willing to say, I'm not staying there anymore. I'm going to move forward. So as you do that and you bring your rocks up, what also we would like for you to do, we don't expect you to take these giant rocks home. That would be kind of silly. But we have some smaller rocks here. And if you come and you write down, you know, where you're headed or where you came from or whatever else on that rock and put it up here, you can grab one of these, stick it in your car, and at your house, whatever. But this is something that can just act as a reminder to you daily that I'm not going to stay where I am. I'm going to remember what God has done in my life, what he wants to do through me, and I'm going to continue to move forward. One other thing that we're going to have for you during this time is there's just some chairs and stuff set up over there. And we know some of you guys need some time to process this. And some of you guys need to process it by talking with maybe an adult leader, your small group leader, maybe another student you trust. So we just have some stuff set up over there, and you're welcome to go over there if you want to. So as the band starts to play, you can write down on there. You can take it back to your seat and think about it and write down on it. Whatever you want to do, we just want you to honestly respond to God's Spirit in here tonight. He's calling each of us to life. He's calling each of us to die to ourselves all the time. And whatever you come up with for your rock is going to fall in one of those two things. And just remember, as long as you have breath in your body, God has a lot more in store for you. So let's tonight together remember who God is, what he's done, and what he's called us to be. Let's pray together, and then we'll have some time of reflection and response. And as soon as I'm done praying, as soon as you guys are ready, you're welcome to come up and participate. Lord Jesus, we really thank you for who you are. God, we really thank you that you were willing to die on our behalf, God, when we really deserved it. We're really thankful, God, that you, when you come into our life, you aren't just like, hey, it's okay, you're really awful, but I'll just leave you that way. But you give us the things that we need to be able to live a life of victory, God. And Lord, I just pray that we would be totally okay with this tension, this uneasiness about this world and about who we are in it, Lord, and that it wouldn't make us like afraid to move forward or give us a whole bunch of shame or whatever, God, but instead it would push us to be more like you. Lord, I pray that as the band plays and as we have some time to sing to you, that each and every one of these students' hearts, Lord, would be open to respond in this way. God, I pray that if there's any fear or apprehension about getting up and coming forward and people looking at you, whatever, God, I just pray that all that stuff would just kind of fall by the wayside and that we together as a group could really run into what you have for us. God, we love you so much. We are so grateful for what you've already done in our midst. And God, I pray that we would just be so excited about what you're going to continue to do. In your awesome and wonderful name, amen.
Take my life, I lay it down at the cross where I am found. All I have, I give to you, oh God. Take these hands and make them clean, or keep my heart